Lord God, we thank you that we serve the great and awesome God of all things, a God who is holy and perfect in every single way, a God that says to be holy as he is holy, to be perfect as he is perfect, but also the God and the Lord and the Savior who says that every day can be a brand new beginning. Help us to focus our thoughts on that today, Lord, as we are still in the beginning of a new year, that it's not about the calendar, but with you, Lord, every day is a new start when we focus on you and be led by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The last few weeks, I felt that I'm in a bit of a rut. I think I have a New Year's fever or something. Looking at the past and thinking about the future. There's quite a few people who don't like thinking about the future because, well, it reminds them that they're getting older. Well, I'm included. Next month, I'm going to be as old as Dale.
Wow.
Yeah. Getting up there, aren't we? And you really know when you're growing old, when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Your knees buckle and your belt won't. Your back goes out more than you do. You know all the answers and no one's asking the questions. Your mind makes agreements that your body just can't keep anymore. You finally get it all together and then you can't remember where you put it. The gleam in your eyes is now just the sun glinting off your bifocals. And when you stop to think about something, you can't get started again. And you sink your teeth into a nice juicy steak and they stay there. Getting older is really a reality for all of us, but it is never too late for new beginnings. And that seems to be the focus of my messages over the past few Sundays. Maybe it is the new year. Maybe the Lord wants to get a point across to someone here, or maybe to me, or maybe to our congregation as a whole, that not only at New Year's, but every single day can be a brand new beginning. I think that there are times in our lives that we would all like a new beginning, especially in our Christian lives. I know personally that there are times that I wish I could just rewind the clock and take back something that I have said or done that I regret. It's at times like this that I have to remember the words of Lamentations 3:22, which says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Sometimes it isn't just the last few days that we would like to take back. Sometimes it is something from long ago that still haunts our memories, something that is still affecting our lives today. Well, this morning, I'm here to say that we can all have a fresh start in life, no matter how old or how young we are. All those mistakes, misplaced words, setbacks, and failures can truly become a thing of the past. No longer do we have to let them enslave us to the point that we can't experience the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us. As Christians, all of us should be so full of joy, peace, and love that all the world will notice. But it is usually the regrets of the past and the current consequences of those regrets that mask that abundant life. Jesus came not just to give us eternal life when we ask him to be our Lord and our Savior, but he also came so that we could have an awesome life. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." But then, in the very same verse, Jesus said that you and I have an adversary, the devil, who seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy that very life that Jesus came to bring. The truth is that the devil will remind us of our past in order to keep us from enjoying the abundant life that God gave us to live. Our enemy does not want us to have a fresh start in life. He wants to condemn you and depress you with your thoughts of the past. But the good news is is that it doesn't have to be that way. That's because God, our Maker, says, I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want you to have a new beginning. I want to do something new in your life. God is the God of new beginnings, of making us into new people, of giving us a new birth, a new covenant, new commandments, new attitudes, and a new life. But a part of that requires that we let go of the past. The old has gone, the new has come, says the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. And in Philippians he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. In most of Jesus' healings, he would instruct those that he healed to go and to not return to their old ways. You remember the woman who had committed adultery, who was dragged before Jesus by the Pharisees? Jesus didn't condemn her, but he gave her a new chance, a new beginning. He gave her a new beginning and said, don't go back to your old ways. Instead, go and sin no more. Forgetting the former things, do not dwell on the past, we are told in the Bible. So why do we have a tendency to hold on to the things of the past? To let things from our past keep us from knowing God fully and from living life, the full life that he has planned for us. It seems to be a part of our human nature that has to be overcome with the help of the Holy Spirit. Back when electricity was first introduced in a little Scottish community, almost everyone in the local church switched from propane lanterns to electricity just as soon as they could be hooked up. However, the oldest couple in the congregation couldn't get their electricity. That's because they were waiting for the poles to go up and for the lines and the wires to be strung. So they continued to use those old propane lanterns. The day finally arrived for them to bring electricity to their home. Everybody came for the festive event. The man waited for it to get extra dark and then told his wife to go and turn on that brand new switch on the wall. When she did, the light filled the room and everyone rejoiced. The man was grinning from ear to ear, and then he picked up a propane lamp and said, wow, that sure makes lighting these lamps a lot easier. And with that, he lit his lamp, and his wife turned off the switch. We can all be guilty of hanging on to the past when we all could be living in the present and living for the future. Maybe there are things that we can never forget, but we've all got to be able to forgive and let go. It could be things that people have said to you that hurt you. It could be things that have happened to you on the job, in your family, or even at church. But if you don't let these things go, if you don't forgive truly from your heart, then these things will keep you living in captivity. And all the while, God may be saying to you, I am waiting and I am wanting to do a brand new thing in your life. Jesus came so that we could have this new life, so that the sins and the hurts of the past could be wiped away, and a fresh new beginning could be ours. It's what the Christian faith is really all about. All of us here this morning have a purpose, and the Lord wants to do something new in our lives. We should be glad that God wants to do something new in our lives. And we should be excited to know that God desires to give us all a fresh start, a new beginning in life. And that just isn't about our personal lives. It's also about our spiritual and our Christian lives. I'm sure that many of you have said, me included, that in the new year that we're going to grow in our relationship with God. I'm going to pray more, read my Bible more, get involved at church more. The list could go on and on. But maybe that isn't working out the way that some of us wanted. Well, this morning, the good news is, according to Isaiah 43, verse 18, forget about what has happened before. Do not even think about the past. Look at the new things that I am going to do. Listen to what God is saying in this verse. He says, forget about what's happened before. Don't even think about your past. It's over. The book is closed. The reason that the Lord says this is because He is far more interested in our future than He is in our past. Some people think that God is stuck on their past, that all He wants to do is to remind them of the things that they have done wrong. But according to Romans 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we have been forgiven, all is forgiven and all is forgotten. Amen? Amen. God is more interested in your future than He is with your past, because that's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. And that's where He can use you for His glory. So no matter how many regrets you have, no matter how old you may feel, and no matter how unqualified you may think that you are, the Lord says to you this morning, I have plans for your life. I'm about to do something new for you. So this morning, I would like to talk with you about starting again and using the acronym START, S-T-A-R-T, to do so. And since this is only the introduction so far, I'll have to finish off next week. I have a bit of a habit using acronyms. I even include some in my second wave ministry curriculum for pastors and church leaders. And the interpreters usually get frustrated with me. That's because that what makes sense in English doesn't make sense in other languages. But I think that all of us here this morning can remember the letters S-T-A-R-T. So regardless of what kind of failures or pains that you've had in the past, financial, relational, or moral, here's how we can all start over. S stands for stop making excuses. If you are really serious about wanting a fresh start in life, then you have to stop making excuses for your failures. You've got to stop blaming other people. And you've got to stop seeing yourself as the victim of your circumstances. Other people can hurt you. Other people can harm you, and other people can scar you. But the only person that can ruin your life is you. Nobody can ruin your life without permission. You have a choice. It is only you who can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. You can either hold on to them, or you can let them go. But when you choose to let them go, you are on a new journey of starting over. The truth is that for us to move forward, we have to stop making excuses because of other people's actions and words. And to stop making excuses also involves accepting personal responsibility for our own actions and words. Proverbs 28:13 says, a person who refuses to admit their mistakes can never be successful. But if they confess and forsake them, they get another chance. Isn't that cool? The Lord says to you and to me that we can get a fresh start in life. And the starting point is to be honest and face up to the past. And face up to the fact that most of the problems that are in our lives, most of the failures that we face are our own individual fault. I was a social worker for quite a few years, and I noticed, and I still notice as a pastor, that it is hard for people to admit when they are wrong. People do not like to admit, I made a mistake, I blew it, and I'm included. But God says that if we admit the mistake, if we admit our failures, and if we admit our sin, then and only then we will get another chance in life. To stop making excuses puts the responsibility on us and not other people. And to stop making excuses also involves preparing ourselves for the future, especially the problems that the future can bring. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 7, "A sensible person watches for problems and prepares to meet them, but the fool never looks ahead and suffers the consequences." Just think about what it was like in the days of Noah. Was it raining when Noah started building the ark? Probably not. But he had to prepare for the coming flood. In fact, the flood didn't come for another 120 years. But that's how long it took him to prepare and to build the ark. One of the ways that you and I and this congregation can prepare for the problems, and yes, there will be problems that we will face in the future, is to listen not only to the voice of the Lord every day, but to listen to the godly advice of other people. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:15, "Plans fail without good advice." Therefore, you and I need to get all the advice that we can get from people that we know and people that we trust. Unfortunately, many people don't want to listen to the advice of other people, and that's because they think that they just don't need it. It's just called pride or ego. Do you know what ego stands for? It's another of my acronyms. It stands for edging out God. When a person or a congregation thinks that they know more than God, they end up pushing him out of their life. And more often than not, their ego trip ends up at a dead-end road. The Bible says that pride always leads to destruction, and an arrogant attitude leads to a fall. When I think that I know it all, and that I can figure it out all by myself, all I'm doing is setting myself up for failure. If I don't listen to the advice of others, if I don't listen to the advice of my wife, my boss, my husband, or other godly people around me, if I think that I'll just do it my way, I'm never going to get anywhere. When it comes to stop making excuses, we have to quit blaming others. We have to take responsibility for our own words and actions. We have to plan ahead for the problems that the future will bring. And we need to stop making excuses when we think that we have failed or when things don't work out the way that we had planned. I have something that I want to tell you here this morning. It's a word of encouragement, even though it doesn't sound like it. All of you here are going to fail at something. We all do at some point or another. It's all a part of being human. But we have to stop using failure as an excuse for giving up. Very often, we give up just before the breakthrough, just before the Lord brings the victory. Proverbs 24:10 tells us that if you give up when troubles come, it just shows that you are weak. When we quit, when the troubles of life come, or when we think that we have failed, all we are doing is taking the path of least resistance. And we never get to where the Lord wants us to be. So if you think that you have failed at something, don't worry about it. Keep at it. Stop making excuses and carry on. And you will get there in the end. The truth is that very, very few people make it on the first try. As a young man, Abraham Lincoln went to war a captain and returned a private. How does that happen? Afterwards, he was a failure as a businessman. As a lawyer in Springfield, he was too impractical and temperamental to be a success. He turned to politics and was defeated in his first try for the legislature. Again, defeated in his first attempt to be nominated for Congress. Defeated in his application to be commissioner of the General Land Office. Defeated in his senatorial election of 1854. Defeated in his efforts for the vice presidency in 1856. And defeated in his senatorial election of 1858. About that time, he wrote in a letter to a friend, "I am now the most miserable man alive." But he kept going, and you know the outcome. Winston Churchill, the great Prime Minister during World War II, repeated a grade during elementary school. And when he entered Harrow, which is a private boarding school for boys, he was placed in the lowest division of the lowest class. Later, he twice failed the entrance exam to the Royal Military Academy at Sandhurst. He was defeated in his first effort to serve in Parliament, but he eventually became Prime Minister at the age of 62. And later, he wrote, "Never give in, never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never, 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 never give up." Thomas Edison's teachers said that he was too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive. As an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. When a reporter asked him, "How did it feel to fail 1,000 times?" Edison replied, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps." Albert Einstein did not speak until he was 4 years old. He did not read until he was 7. His parents thought that he was actually subnormal. And one of his teachers described him by writing this, that he is mentally slow, unsociable, and adrift forever in foolish dreams. He was expelled from school and was refused admittance to the Zurich Polytechnic School. However, he eventually did learn to speak and read, and he even learned a little math. Henry Ford failed and went broke 5 times before he succeeded, and stated at one point, "Failure provides the opportunity to start again more intelligently." And a more contemporary example is Michael Jordan, who said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. That is why I succeed." The list goes on. And the moral of these stories is this: you're never a failure until you give up. So stop making excuses. It's always too soon to quit. The Bible says that we need to stop making excuses. We need to stop blaming others. We need to admit when things are our fault and get on with life. And do you know something? And this isn't very nice, but it's true. I've discovered that people who are very good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. All they seem to do is spend all their energy thinking up the reasons why they can't do what they're supposed to do. So let all of us here this morning purpose in our hearts to stop making excuses and move into the future that the Lord has for us with confidence and hope in our hearts. So S in START stands for? Very good. And then we have T, which stands for take an inventory of your life. I need to take an inventory of my life. And you need to take an inventory of your life. That means that we all need to evaluate all of our individual experiences. We need to look at what's left after the pain and after the failure. We need to take an inventory of our life's experiences and learn from them. Galatians 3, verse 4 says, "You have experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not." And the Living Bible puts it this way, "You have suffered so much for the gospel. Now are you going to throw it all overboard?" The point here is this: we all need to take an inventory of our lives. You have to ask yourself, what have you learned from your mistakes? What have you learned from your failures? As I said earlier, failure can either be your friend or it can be your foe. And you are the one who determines if failure will be your friend or your foe by the way that you react to it. You can choose to learn from it. You can choose to repeat it. Or you can choose to make it an excuse to quit. If you learn from your failure, then it can be your friend. However, if you don't learn from it, it will be your foe. God uses our successes, but God also uses our failures to make us who we are. They are the experiences that He gives us in life. And when you boil it all down, there really are only four kinds of experiences that God uses to shape our lives. First, He uses our personal experiences. That involves the family that you grew up in, the people that you relate to, the relationships that have been or still are in your life. Second, He uses vocational and educational experiences to shape who you are today. Third, He uses spiritual experiences to shape you, like coming to church, going on a retreat, reading your Bible, and spending time in prayer. And fourth, the Lord also uses painful experiences to shape who you are today. So as you take an inventory of your life and starting over, you need to ask yourself three questions. First, what have I learned? I know people who are 50 years old, but they don't have 50 years of experiences. They've had the same year of experience over and over again. They've never learned anything because they aren't willing to grow spiritually or personally. And they are unwilling to take risks in life and in ministry. So what have you learned from your experiences? If you don't sit down and think it through, you'll end up repeating the same mistake over and over again because you didn't learn from it the first time. You also have to ask yourself, what are my assets? What have I got going for me? Have I got my health? Have I got my freedom? Am I still mentally sound? Have I got some friends? And more importantly, have I got the Lord? Thirdly, you need to ask yourself, who can help me? When we need a fresh start in life, we need somebody by our side. A friend, an accountability partner, a support person or a support group. Find someone that can help you. You need other people because you can't start over or begin something new all by yourself. Whether it's in your personal life, in business, or in ministry, you need someone else to walk along with you. Someone that you can count on to be there to help you to get that fresh start. But most importantly, the Lord Jesus will be there. He will help all of us pull our lives back together and make sure that we get started on the right foot. He is also right there when He asks us to do something which we don't think that we can do by ourselves. It could be a new ministry, stepping out to help in the church, or even working on your spiritual life by coming to Bible study and learning more about Him and yourselves in the process. This morning, we have looked at starting again, and have done so by looking at how to stop making excuses and by taking an inventory of our lives. So until next week when we continue on, remember this, that you and I serve an amazing God, the God who is the God of new beginnings, the God who brings us from where we are with all our brokenness, our failures, our mistakes, and makes us whole again. He is the one who takes all of our experiences, both good and bad, and with our cooperation, makes us the people that He has called us to be for His glory, and so that you and I can truly live the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us.